Everybody back this afternoon. We're almost about ready to head out with the kiddos, but we wanted to have one more opportunity to get together and worship. We appreciate everybody who rearranges their schedules when we go like this on the team trip to allow us, first of all, to be able to all worship together on Sunday, and then also to allow them to get down at a safe time. And so we appreciated that. Appreciate the church as well. Each year the church pays for the teen trip, with a few exceptions, and we've appreciated that. The kids this year are always worthy, but this year they're especially worthy. This was one of the hardest mowing years I think we have ever had, and I know a number of our kids. We worked nearly to death, but to each one of them, we are grateful. We're proud of them. They represent the church well. And as we go on the trip, we expect them to continue to do so and have not been let down. And so we've got a remarkable, very young group, all eighth grade and below, this year. And they do represent us well. And so, we have something to be proud of in these young people, and so we do appreciate them. Appreciate also our sponsors who are going on the trip. As I look around, I see a lot who have gone as sponsors in the past who seem unusually happy today, who are not going with us. We do have Dave is one of the ones I always think of. We have a devotional each night around a campfire, and it's a meaningful time. People get to visit and kind of talk about things that they might not talk about if the lights were on, but the fire's dim. And so Dave shared something that was somewhat emotional. He just looked at the kids and he said, "You know, you mean a lot to me. I don't have the exact words right, but I have the gist." He said, "You mean a lot to me." He said, "If I had kids, if I was married and I had kids, I believe is how he put it, I would want them all to be just like y'all." He said, "A little better looking." And I'll always remember that. Some of you who are students of history will know this. I don't think there's probably anybody here that's old enough to remember when they did this way. But used to, logging was done in a very specific way. If they could, when they cut the logs down, they wanted to be next to a river so they could push those logs down the river to the sawmill. Some of them obviously went by horse or by mule, but the ideal situation and the situation they typically used was to log the forest as close to the river as possible, and then they would put the logs, the trees, in the river, and they'd let them go down. Every once in a while, they'd get jammed up, and that's where we get the phrase log jam from. And the way they took care of those log jams was really interesting. They would throw dynamite into it. Now you might think that's kind of wasteful, because it would in fact damage a lot of the wood or some of the wood that they were trying to get to the sawmill. But they found that was the only way they could safely do that, and it kept most of the logs intact, and it would allow that jam to free up and it would start flowing freely again. Well, that's what I want to look at today in our lives, because for a short time, by the way, 12 minutes or it's free. So I started my watch a little late, so I'm going to try and make it 10 minutes or it's free by the watch, but 12 minutes or it's free. And I've already been paid, so I feel pretty confident. But the thing is, we allow things to make a log jam in our lives sometimes in our service to God. Sometimes it's not something that would have been in and of itself sinful. Our work schedules, our relationships, the different responsibilities that we have. Nothing sinful about that. God expects us all to make a living. He expects us to handle our relationships well, and He expects us to handle our physical business as well in a good and efficient manner. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we get things so jammed up and we keep packing more and more and more in to where we really don't have much time left for God, and the time that we do have left for God is so packed in with everything else that it is just not effective. The other type of a logjam that we get is that of sin, where we introduce something that we should not be introducing into our lives. And if you look at it realistically and honestly, I think that you'll agree that most sin is addictive. Whether we're talking about a physical addiction or an emotional addiction or just a habit that almost becomes an addiction because you don't feel right if you don't have it anymore. But when we talk about sin, there's all sorts of types of sin that we pack into our life with everything else, and it gives us a logjam there. And it reduces our effectiveness for God. Colossians chapter 3 talks about just such a problem. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so this idea of a mindset is really important. You still get to do the good things, the non-sinful things, not a problem. Your families and your jobs and even your hobbies that you enjoy. These are fine. But your mindset has to be first on God, on heaven, and on godly things. And that will help us from getting things too jammed up. But now, what about sin? In verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Josh was talking about that. We've all had times in our past that we look back on and we realize, I was in a sinful situation there. And maybe it got out of hand to where it actually controlled us. One of the things about Satan is God gives him some leeway. The leeway he gives us is in temptation. And those who put themselves under the control of Satan find themselves in this terrible logjam. And sometimes it's a logjam of addiction. Sometimes it's a logjam of consequences. Whatever it is. I want to be very clear on this. Satan has no control in your life other than what you give to him. Whatever you cede to him. A man is enslaved to whatever it is that has enslaved him, the scriptures tell us. And so if you put yourself under Satan's control, he certainly will. But God, who is still in control of everything, and who will eventually take control of your life again if you don't cede it to him now, that is where we need to be. And so in verse 6 says, talking about the sinful things, because of this, the wrath of God is coming. But verse 7 says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself. This is throwing the dynamite in, isn't it? You must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. I think it's fascinating the fact that when you have that logjam, when they used to do it in that way, that once they threw that dynamite in and they got the clog out, it flowed really nicely. It worked just like it should. You'll find that with your life too. I do want to be very quick to say this. There are times in your life that are necessarily busy that you cannot avoid. There will be cancers that come up in your life. There will be newborns in your life. There will be seasons of activity that you have to take care of. These will jam your life up sure enough. I'm not talking about that being sinful, but we need to always make sure that we set our minds on things above. And then this last idea, and it's a familiar passage to you. It's Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus says this. For all of us who want to say, well, what if? What about this? What about, I've got to make a living. I've got to do this. I've got to have food on the table. I've got to have a roof over my head. What about it? What about it? Therefore, I tell you, verse 25, Matthew 6, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, God is not going to put you on a type of welfare where He just rains down things upon your life so that you can just do what you want to do when you want to do it. But what God will do, because you are here on this earth to serve Him, is He will give you the resources that you need to serve. You will have enough time, you'll have enough money, you'll have enough opportunity. All we have to do is trust and then do our best with what we have. And when we find that our lives are kind of clogged up, to look at it, see, is this necessary, is this unnecessary? If it's sinful, get rid of it. If it's something that's just earthly, but you got too much of it, throw a piece of dynamite in and scale back a little bit. Whatever it is, we have the beautiful opportunity to serve God during this life, worry-free, and then live with Him forever, if we choose. Choose. Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian tonight, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come forward and let that be known while we stand and sing?